ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
This evening, if you would, please turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 8 as we continue our study through the Word of God. And I'll give you some background information that I think is important to help us to understand before we get to the events here in Revelation chapter 8. If you remember way back in Revelation chapter 5, God the Father had a scroll in his right hand, and we're told that no one was worthy to open the scroll and to loosen the seals on the scroll. And we said that that scroll represented the title deed to the earth that was given to Satan when Adam sinned. And then when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, he purchased the title deed of the earth back. But he hasn't taken possession of the earth, not yet. And that's really what Revelation is all about. Now, as John sees that no one can take the scroll out of the Father's right hand, he's weeping bitterly because he sees we're doomed. Man is doomed. The earth is given away and in the hands of Satan. But then in Revelation 5, verses 5 through 7, we're told, "But one of the elders said to me, 'Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals.' And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne." And it's out of that we see all heaven break forth with a new song as they sing unto the Lord. The four living creatures, the 24 elders, which represent the church, are worshiping God. The angels join in. Every creature in heaven breaks forth with praise unto God as he takes the scroll out of God the Father's right hand. And you think, why is this even important? Why can't Jesus just establish his kingdom on earth at this point, right now? Or even when he takes the title deed out of the Father's right hand? The reason is this: before he can establish the kingdom on this earth, he has to judge the earth dwellers who are presently occupying the earth. They have to be removed first, and then his kingdom will be set up. And then as we got into then Revelation chapter 6, we see Jesus begin to loosen the seals one at a time. And his judgment upon the earth, upon the earth dwellers, is about to begin. And these judgments increase in intensity and frequency until they're completed and the Lord comes back to set up his kingdom on this earth. The first seal, we said, brought forth the Antichrist. Then came wars with the second seal, famine, and then death. And with these four seal judgments, over a fourth of the world's population is destroyed. Maybe some 2 billion people, maybe 2.5 billion people. And this is happening during the first half of the seven-year tribulation period. Then in the fifth seal that Jesus opened, we see the martyred tribulation saints. And that's not the judgment of God, as we said. The judgment with this seal is the prayers of these tribulation saints, which goes like this: "How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" In other words, they're calling for God to judge those who have put them to death. That's their prayer, and that prayer is going to be answered by God in his time. And there's going to be many more believers put to death by these earth dwellers for their faith in Christ, but God is going to deal with them. And by the time we get to the sixth seal, there's a great earthquake. Every island and mountain was removed out of its place. The sun grew dark. The moon appeared red as blood. Stars fell from heaven. The sky receded as a scroll. And this, I believe, is in the second half of that seven-year tribulation period, or what's known as the Great Tribulation. And let me say this, because there seems to be a growing number of Christians who feel that we as Christians are in the tribulation period and these judgments of God are already being poured out. And I wasn't really going to get into this tonight, but I think it's important because there are more and more people confused about the timing of the events spoken of here in Revelation. And I want you to be clear on this. I want you to understand this because, you know, with the internet, there's all kinds of information out there. And this is one article. It's from One Path Research and their view about these events. And it seems like they're leaning by what they say that the sealed judgments have already begun. That we're already in the tribulation period right now. Although, who's the Antichrist? I mean, it's pretty simple to put that one down. But this is what they wrote. We know that the events that Revelation talks about, once started, will happen in rapid succession. God has provided us what events will occur, and their sequence, and even says, and their sequence, and even says he will bless us if we read, hear, and take them to heart. I, for one, wish this blessing, so I study with all diligence. We know that the first event is the opening of the first seal, where it is generally understood that this represents the spirit of the Antichrist who conquers and overcomes. Now, that's an interesting phrase. It doesn't say the Antichrist. Did you see that? It says the spirit of the Antichrist. This is a general thing. It's not a person. It's a group of people, the spirit of the Antichrist in this world. When Jesus was asked about the sequence of the end time events, he described the same sequence of the opening of the seals, but gave us more information about the opening of the first seal and said for us to make sure that no one deceives us. In the last few years, we see Christians leaving, following Christ in droves. Based on polls of those that say they are Christians, conservatively over 85% of them admit that they do not follow Christ and instead do primarily whatever they choose. Doesn't it sound like they are being deceived and are being conquered and overcome as they stopped following Christ? 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 3 gives us the most important key to know when the final sequence of events will start. We're told, "Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates we do not need to write to you, for you knew very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape." This COVID pandemic has caused worldwide havoc. It has disrupted the manufacturing and distribution chains. It casts a large percentage of the world's population into financial difficulty. It seems logical to assume that this event, happening on a worldwide scale, would assist in triggering the opening of the seal two, war, seal three, famine, and seal four, disease. John tells us directly that 25% of the world's population will die from these three events. That's almost 2 billion people. The most important part of that passage is the phrase, peace and safety. Have you heard that phrase battered about in the last year since COVID started? The United Nations, through their World Health Organization agency, has been saying the phrase peace and security repeatedly and intensely over the last year. This is technically the identical phrase that we are being warned about in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 through 3. Shortly after the start of the COVID-19 pandemic on April 18, 2020, H.E. Antonio Guterres, the UN General Secretary, gave a worldwide address where he stated that we would rebuild a fairer world as united global citizens and united nations. Using the phrase peace and security, they do not hesitate to tell us that their true intent is to rebuild the world. We are warned in the scriptures that when we hear this phrase, then sudden destruction will come. Have the Revelation events started with a question mark? No, they haven't. I'm sorry. He's wrong. We're not in the tribulation period. First of all, and again, it sounds really good, but then examine it with what the scriptures. I've said before, you know, when I teach very passionately. But just because I teach passionately doesn't mean I'm right. There are people that are very passionate about what their belief is, and they're wrong. They could be very sincere about it and be wrong. Well, then how do you know what I'm saying is true? Because you need to search the scriptures to see. Just because I'm speaking with passion doesn't mean I'm right. Is it what the Word of God says? And that's what I'm trying to do here. 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 3, Paul tells us that this day will not overtake us. Why? Because we're children of the light and not of darkness. Secondly, it says in 1 Thessalonians 5, 3, for when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them. as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. He's not speaking of believers here. He's speaking of the unsaved, the earth dwellers, and this is going to happen during the tribulation period. How do I know that? Well, it's just like labor pains upon a pregnant woman. Isn't that what the tribulation period's all about? The labor pains start out slow, they're mild, and they increase in intensity until the birth of the kingdom age at the end of those 7 years. And remember, Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:9, "For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." He uses the second seal, third seal, fourth seal judgments to kind of give us the idea we're in the tribulation period. But what did he leave out? The most important one, the Antichrist. As Paul said in 2 Thessalonians, that we are going to be taken out, caught up. The rapture is going to happen, the departure. And then the man of sin will be revealed. We are not going to know who the Antichrist is. And yet, he ignores that, or he tries to downplay it by saying it's the spirit of Antichrist. No, it's not. This is a man. And we'll read about this man here in Revelation as we move on. He's a man who will lead the world, a one-world government. Why there is this push that the tribulation period has started and COVID is a sign that the seal judgments have begun, I have no idea why people are doing that. But I would challenge you to be Bereans. And whatever you hear from me or anyone else, search the scriptures. Because there are some really good teachers that have said some really wrong things. And it's really easy to find out if it's true or not. You look in the Word of God. Don't be deceived by these guys and what they have to say. Now, again, here in Revelation, we see that in Revelation chapter 7, there is a pause to fill in some details of the tribulation period, kind of a breather before the next judgments come. And we saw 144,000 Jews get saved and sealed by God for protection during this time, prior to the start of the trumpet judgments that are coming. So these winds are held back, and we'll see that tonight as we get into these trumpet judgments. And we also saw the fruit of their labor. These 144,000 Jewish evangelists are ministering, and multitudes of people are getting saved from every tribe, nation, all over the place. It's awesome. That's kind of where we left off in our last study, the sounds of worship in heaven now. But something strange is going to happen tonight as we open up our study in Revelation chapter 8, something that I don't think was heard of in heaven before. So let's pick up Revelation chapter 8, beginning in verse 1, and let's see what the Lord has for us this evening as we study his word. We're told this: "When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour." Wow. You know, heaven is filled with worship, right? Revelation 5, verses 8 through 14. Listen to what we're told. "Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth.' Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands." It's just too many to number. This is how the Greek is. There is no number for the billions that are out there. "And they're saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, 'Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever.' Then the four living creatures said, 'Amen.' And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever." We saw in Revelation chapter 7, verse 10, that salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, as the tribulation saints are worshiping God. In Revelation 7:12, All the angels who are around the throne of God and the elders or the church worship the Lord by saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. All of creation's worshiping God. Could you imagine what that sounds like? Have you ever been in a place where there's a lot of people worshiping God and what it sounds like? It's incredible. But here's all of heaven. And wow, that must be amazing. But all of a sudden, nothing. No worship, no sound, complete silence for about a half an hour. Not just a few seconds or even a few minutes. Now, we might not think much about that, but imagine if I stood up here and stopped talking. I know some of you are thinking, impossible, he'll never stop talking. But beside that, imagine if just for a few minutes, if I did that for 5 minutes, wow, that's a long time. But you would get uncomfortable if I just sat up here and said nothing for a minute. And maybe even 30 seconds, you would start to fidget because, you know, what's up with him? You know, is his blood sugar low? What? He's not saying anything. But here in heaven, silence for a half an hour. No more worship, not a sound is being made during this time when the seventh seal is going to be opened. And we'll deal with that in a minute, what that's all about. Why is there silence in heaven at this point? One writer put it like this, and then I'll expound on it. He said, "This word about silence reminds us of the prophet Habakkuk's cry, the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. This silence comes as a dramatic contrast to the shouting of praise and the playing of harps that has been going on in heaven up to this point. Millions of angels, hosts of redeemed humans, and other heavenly creatures have been crying out before the throne of God and singing praises to him. But now suddenly everything ceases. When the seventh seal is opened, there is total silence. It is a most dramatic pause. It reminds one of the moment of silence just before the last great hallelujah and the hallelujah chorus of Handel's Messiah. This is the silence of mystery, a silence of intense anticipation of what is about to happen. Our good friend Earl Palmer, in his commentary on Revelation, says, it communicates in a dramatic way the full and awesome authority of God. Everything must wait for his kingly move. Absolutely. Everything is on hold for what's going to come next. And just one more, where we're told, after all that loudness, as the full fury of the final judgments are about to be released, silence falls on the heavenly scene. The implication is that when the judgment about to happen becomes visible as the seventh seal is broken and the scroll unrolled, both the redeemed and the angels are reduced to silence in anticipation of the grim reality of the destruction they see written in the scroll. The half an hour of silence is the calm before the storm. It is the silence of foreboding, of intense expectation, of awe at what God is about to do. Again, this is the calm before the storm. The storm of God's judgment is going to be poured out upon a Christ-rejecting world. And it's these judgments are going to come with more intensity, and they're going to come closer together than the seal judgments. And the trumpet judgments are going to be devastating. And they'll lead us into the bowl judgments that will increase in intensity and frequency. And those just are fired, I believe, in rapid succession. Bam, 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 those bowl judgments. Now, the seventh seal, what is that all about? I believe the seventh seal judgment contains the seven trumpet judgments. It's like the seventh trumpet judgment that holds the seven bowl judgments that are going to be unleashed upon the earth dwellers. There are others who hold this view as well, and I'll just share what they had to say. The opening of the seventh seal is a most important event, confirmed by the fact that there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour after it was opened. The contents of the seven trumpets indicate that they differ from the seven seals. W. Graham Scroggie states, the trumpets therefore do not double back over all or some of the seals, but lie under the sixth seal and proceed from it. He also holds that the bowls of the wrath of God do not double back over the seal and trumpet judgments. C.A. Blanchard holds the same position. This series of three sevens are really included in one series of seven. That is, the seven trumpets are included under the seventh seal, and the seven bowls are included under this seventh trumpet, so that we have, in fact, a single series in three movements. Absolutely. I think they're correct. And again, the silence in heaven. Imagine nothing. You know, no harps, no singing, no praising. Silence for a half an hour. And it's in response to the cataclysmic judgments that are coming upon the earth dwellers. And we see this in the scriptures. We looked at Habakkuk 2:20 already, but in Zephaniah 1:7, it says, "Be silent in the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord has prepared a sacrifice. He has invited his guest." So this is in response to what's coming in divine judgment. The divine judgment that's going to be poured out upon this earth. Psalm 76, verses 8 and 9. "You caused judgment to be heard from heaven. The earth feared and was still. When God arose to judgment, to deliver all the oppressed of the earth." And then Zechariah 2:13, "Be silent, all flesh, before the Lord, for he is aroused from his holy habitation." So here, as this seventh seal is open, we see the Lord preparing to step onto the scene to set up his kingdom. It's coming. You know, we're in that last 3.5 year period of time of the 7-year tribulation period. But there's coming some really devastating judgments. And all of heaven waits in silence for this to be unveiled. I tend to think of it like a piece of artwork. I don't know if they do this anymore today, but remember when they'd unveil a statue and they'd have a big drape over it, covering it, and then they would lift the drape and everyone is silent as it's being opened. And then they're, "Oh, look at that," and all clapping, you know. This is what's going on here. It's going to be unveiled, the kingdom age, the birth of the kingdom. That's what we're seeing here in heaven. Look at verse 2. "And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets." So here are these seven angels who stand before the presence of God. They're given seven trumpets. And as these trumpets are sounded, there will be judgments that are poured out. The first four kind of deal with the earth. The last ones deal with man. And this is the prelude to the sounding of these trumpet judgments right here. And again, you know, people kind of get some weird ideas about trumpets. The trumpet judgment or the trumpet sounding is when the church is going home, that last trumpet sound. So that's the seventh trumpet. Let me show you that there's a lot of different trumpet sounds. Okay? And I'll just give them to you. You can look at them on the internet. They'll have all the references on there. But trumpets were used to call an assembly together, Numbers 10:2. To sound an alarm for war, Numbers 10:9. That's an important one. You know, hey, we're going to war, not a calling an assembly. It's a different sound. They were used for religious feasts, Numbers 10:10. To announce news, 1 Samuel 13:3. To announce a new king, 1 Kings 1:34 and 39. Used in worship, 1 Chronicles 16:6 and verse 42. Trumpets would be used to announce the day of the Lord, Zephaniah 1, verses 14 through 16. But as we get into the New Testament, there's two primary uses for trumpets. The first is to call the church home. We call that the rapture of the church, and the Lord takes his bride home to be with him. And the second, as we've seen here, is the sounding of these trumpet judgments. And again, I understand those who believe that the church is not raptured until this last trumpet is sounded, the seventh one. Paul spoke of that in 1 Corinthians 15:52. But there are two different trumpet blasts spoken of in the New Testament. And those that are kind of into the pre-wrath rapture of the church, or the rapture happens, it's just after the midway point when the seventh trumpet is sounded, are into that. There are others as well. But again, one trumpet is to call us home. The other is a trumpet of judgment. Do you think they sound different? Absolutely they do. Just like these other trumpets we see in the scriptures. And so we need to keep that in mind. Look at verse 3 here in Revelation 8. "Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar, and he was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand." So who is this angel here in verse 3? It's interesting because some feel it's Jesus Christ because of the priestly work that this angel is doing. He's kind of the mediator. I don't think that's a correct interpretation. John says that this is another angel. And the Greek word that John uses for another is allos, A-L-L-O-S. And it speaks of another of the same kind, another one of these angels, not the Lord. If you use the Greek word heteros, H-E-T-E-R-O-S, it means another of a different kind. So not another angel, it could be speaking of the Lord, but that's not what he uses. So this is not Jesus, this is an angel, like the seven holding the seven trumpets in the presence of God.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.